Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Good morning. I'd like to see the hands of you ladies that have been attending the Rhythms of Grace class. Could you just stand where the rest can see this group of great women? Yay! Other ladies, you've seen these gals. You may be seated, thank you. You've seen them. If you're curious about it, ask them, because God is really doing some wonderful things in this Rhythm of Grace class. Ask one of them. Sunday mornings at 8:45. All right. How many have brought your Bibles? I want to see the Bibles in the house. See how many we got here. Yeah. You know what? If that internet goes down, you're not going to have your sword. So I'm going to encourage you to bring your Bibles. Thank you. That's just me. I'm old school. There's a lot about me that's old school, but you know what? When the water quits and the electricity's off, you know, I do remember some things on the farm about how to survive. So, you know, it doesn't hurt to know those things from time to time, right? All right. In September of 2005, does everybody hear me okay? Is the sound all right for everybody? Okay. September of 2005, on the first day of school, Martha Cothran, a history teacher at Robinson High School in Little Rock, Arkansas, did something not to be forgotten. I am sorry. On the first day of school, with the permission of the school superintendent, the principal, and the building supervisor, she removed all the desks out of her classroom. When the first period of kids entered the room, they discovered there were no desks. "Miss Cothran, where are our desks?" She replied, "You can't have desks until you tell me how you earn the right to sit in them." How many of you had that teacher? They thought, "Well, maybe it's our grades." "No," she said. "Well, maybe it's our behavior." She told them, "No, it's not even your behavior." And so they came and went, the first period, second period, and third period. Still no desks were in the classroom. Kids called their parents, the entitled kids. No. And you know, the truth be known, we'd have probably been one of those kids. They called their parents to tell on Miss Cothran. She doesn't even have any desk in her room. Before you knew it, the television crews were out at Robinson High School. They thought they had some juicy news going on about a crazy teacher. The final period of the day came, and as the puzzled students found seats on the floor, Martha Cothran said, "Throughout the day, no one has been able to tell me just what she or he has done to earn the right to sit at the desk that you ordinarily find in this classroom. Now I'm going to tell you." At this point, Martha Cothran went over to the door of her classroom and opened it. 27 U.S. Armed Service veterans, all in uniform, walked into that classroom, each one carrying a school desk. The vets began placing the school desk in rows, and then they would walk over and stand along the wall. By the time the last soldier had set the final desk in place, those kids started to understand. Perhaps for the first time in their lives, just how the right to sit at those desks had been earned. Martha said, "You didn't earn the right to sit in these desks, kids. These heroes did it for you. They placed the desk here for you. They went halfway around the world, giving up their education, interrupting their careers and families so they could help you maintain freedom. Now it's up to you to sit in them. It's your responsibility to learn, to be a good student, and to be good citizens. They paid the price so that you could have the freedom to get an education. Don't ever forget it. And by the way, this is actually a true story, you guys. This teacher was awarded the Veterans of Foreign Wars Teacher of the Year for the state of Arkansas in 2006. And she is the daughter of a World War II POW. When I read that, I begin to picture New Song, walking into New Song, and not one pew being here. Somebody went before you. Somebody labored before you for you to enjoy what you have today. They were empowered by the Spirit of God. What causes men and women to have such empowerment to give to the next generation? What causes a mom and dad to leave such a heritage that their children know at midnight when they don't know what to do, when that child's running the highest fever and they can't bring it down? And mom's already gone to heaven, and dad's already there. What are you going to do? You're going to go back and remember the midnight hour when mom and dad laid their hand on that fevered brow and brought the name of Jesus into your hearing. You're going to remember those gone before you. In any kind of successful thing that we in America have gotten to enjoy, our hospitals, our schools, and many of the institutions, it all came from somebody having calluses on their knees and were in prayer and became empowered with a mission. Some of them were little nurses forming all kinds of different medical breakthroughs in order to see that people's needs are met today. So today we're going to discuss the baptism with the Holy Spirit. You have some questions in your handout. Number one, to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit is one thing, but to be baptized with the Holy Spirit is a separate and distinct work of the Holy Spirit. Is this true or false? It's true. And there's some scripture to back that up. Because of time constraints, I'm going to let you go study that at home, okay? Number two, true or false? The baptism with the Holy Spirit is a definite experience of which one may know whether he or she has received this. True. That's correct. Number three, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is always connected with empowerment for testimony and empowerment for service. True. And you can go home and read those scriptures and the summary, and we'll move right along into the message. Last Sunday, Pastor Richard stated, God desires to do a total rewrite of your life by the power of the Holy Spirit, interfaced with your humble submission to his will. Anybody remember that statement? Yeah, good. You're tracking with me. Sometimes we've got to hear it twice. And then it lodges, it lands. He went on to reflect on the transformation of each of the disciples after they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and endued with power from on high. They went from being much like you and I, having conflict, jealousy, who's in with Jesus better than the others, and doubts. They were overwhelmingly in love with Jesus once the day of Pentecost was fulfilled, and the power of God was literally just transfused into them. They came together and did something that had never been heard of in the history of human beings on the earth. They came together as a powerful, unified team and built the Church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So if God can take disquieted disciples that can't get along, have conflict, jealousy, want to be in with Jesus better than the next guy, if he can take this group, and one of them had a devil, if he could take this group of 11 and then Matthias, who was added on May 12th, and build his church, look what the church has been through all these ages. Think about it. How many times has the enemy tried to snuff out the church? All the way from the Roman Empire, putting Christians into the amphitheaters down there for everyone to be entertained while lions tore them from shreds to shreds. All the way to today, where the enemy is very, very strategic. He doesn't care what plan he has to use to discredit God and his church. So, first of all, let's look at Luke 24:49. It says, Jesus told the disciples, he said, if you'll just go to Jerusalem and you'll wait there, I'm going to send you a comforter. That comforter is the Holy Spirit. In other words, you wait there until you're endued with power from on high. That was their first instructions. Do you think they could follow those instructions? Jesus is getting ready to leave and he's given them the instructions. He's made sure everybody understands. They go to the upper room and they stay there and they wait before the Lord. And this morning you read what happened when the day of Pentecost was fully come. The Lord sent the Holy Spirit, and he baptized them all, and they actually began to speak in other languages. And there were people round about that understood these languages, and they didn't know what was going on. Now, first of all, let's look at the word endue. What does that even mean? Well, Merriam-Webster says that endue means to provide, endow. In other words, someone has been endowed with the rights of citizenship. We're going to go back and talk about that here in a second. Imbue or infuse. How many of you have had to have a transfusion before or had IVs? You ever had IVs? Then there's a bag hanging up over here and there's a tube and there's fluid that's flowing into your body. Okay, transfuse. Transfuse is another meaning of endue. And then the last meaning is to put on, to don, like putting on a jacket. And so let's say that scripture one more time. Stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now, keeping those definitions in mind, let's proceed. Pastor Richard had been preaching a series of messages on the subject of Pentecost. He has been laying a foundation to prepare our hearts. We hopefully have now come to the place where there is a deep sense that we must be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, many of you have had this experience, but there may be some of you that have not. The practical question then would confront us, how can we obtain this baptism with the Holy Spirit, which we so sorely need? Because it's speaking of empowerment. I feel weak most of the time, so I want to know what this empowerment is. There is a pointed out path in the Bible, consisting of 7 simple steps that we're going to talk about, which any one of you who wants to can take. So with this in mind, I want you to consider these 7 steps. And, you know, we're just using the terminology steps just as a point of reference. Really, it's a positioning. 7 moments of positioning. It's not like we've got an equation. You do this, this, and this, and then you're filled. Okay? We're talking about the Lord preparing us for the endowment, the rights to literally walk in his Spirit. This divine Spirit, real, that literally consumes us and lives in us, directs us, comforts us, gives us gifts of knowledge and wisdom and gifts of healing and the words to speak when we don't know what to speak. This amazing divine reality here, this is not a fairy tale. This is real. How many of you have been around anyone that was demon-possessed? Have you ever been around somebody that was demon-possessed? Did you ask yourself if this was real? How much more I implore you to know the Spirit of the living God and what He wants to do in you is real. And it's good, life-giving, and empowering. So just for the sake of being easy to say, let's call it steps. Are we okay with that? Just remember, it's a positioning in order to get more of God, okay? The first two steps are found in the word repent. What does repent even mean? Our point of reference here is in Acts chapter 2, verse 37-38. When they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Here, the first and most prominent step is a change of mind. Repent, we're going to talk about repent being a change of mind about what you think about Christ. And then number two will be a change of mind about a lifestyle. Peter had just brought the most awful charge to these people. They were cut to the heart. How they had all taken so much pride for generation after generation waiting for the Messiah. So much pride that the Messiah, out of all the peoples of the earth, we will have the Messiah. And yet Peter stood up there empowered by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, a moment that people had never ever witnessed in their life, and nor were they even questioning, because they knew a divine presence had just come before them, and that Peter, who was unlearned, was anointed and gifted to preach to them. And he preached the truth, and it was cutting to their heart. They were told that they crucified the Messiah, the one they'd waited for all this time. They did it. They were cut to the heart. And it says, "What should we do?" They were ready. What should we do to be saved? And Peter had a ready answer. So they had a change of mind about Christ. The second step in repent is a change of mind about sin. A change of mind from sin-loving, sin-indulging attitude of mind to a sin-hating and sin-renouncing attitude of mind. We must be very, very honest and scan our hearts thoroughly. You know, the truth be known, we cannot even satisfactorily search our own hearts. We must ask God to do it and bring to surface, bring to light the sins or the controversies between us and Him. To bring them to light. We need God to do it, because if we're not careful, we will fall into the pitfall of condemnation. We'll condemn ourselves to the point we can't even lift our head and finish the subject with God. So we need His help to bring to light the sins in our lives, because we see love from Him, grace from Him, an answer from Him. And if we're not careful, we'll fall into the pitfall of justifying our sin and never getting beyond, changing our mind about the attitude of sin in our own life. I'm not talking about anybody else. You're not supposed to be looking over the fence now. We're only looking here, okay? I am so sorry, guys. Psalms 139, verse 23 in the New King James, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and even know my anxieties." We need Him to do this work in us, to reveal to us anything that creates a controversy between him and us. The third step is to follow the instructions to be baptized in water. Now, I don't want you to get too tripped up on this. Let's look at this same verse. It says, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of sins. The act of obedience is an act of humility to make an open confession of our sin and renunciation of living for ourselves and the world. We're no longer a master to our sin, and our acceptance of Jesus Christ by water baptism. Now, the good news, the Bible records that there were folks that were baptized with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues way before they were baptized with water. So, just the good news is, if the opportunity's not there just quite yet, don't have a heart attack and say you're not positioned, because you are. Okay? The fourth step is obedience. This is clearly implied in the verse we've been studying, Acts 2:38, but it is brought out more explicitly in Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who, what? Obey him. Let's say that again. The Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey. Obedience doesn't mean merely doing some of the things, or many of the things, or most of the things that God wants us to do. It means total surrender to the will of God. Many hold back because they fear God's will. How many controllers are in the building? Hey, come on, let's be honest. Every one of us are a controller on something. We all have something we got to have control of. Don't try to look at me so pious. I know every one of us. If I walked up and tried to take your prize, I imagine you'd be taking control of the situation in a hurry. Many hold back because they fear God's will. They're afraid that God's will may be something dreadful. He may call me to Indonesia. Hey, he isn't calling you to Indonesia unless he's already put something inside your spirit that's drawing there, okay? Come on, guys, you can trust God. Remember who God is. He is our Father. Never an earthly father has so lovingly and tender a will regarding his children as God has toward us. I just saw yesterday, my niece in Texas, she has her oldest, Travis. She put on Facebook, Travis doing his piano recital. I have to tell you, that just made Aunt Ivy's heart swell. I'm so proud of that kid. He did such a good job. Didn't make one mistake. But see, that's an example of the love and the pride of a mom and dad. You know, they were sitting there watching Travis, and their hearts were just swelling. I mean, to the point she took pictures to put it on Facebook. But see, God loves us better than we can love our own kids. Somehow, you guys will step into that faith and believe it. He's as happy and proud of you when you hit that note. Azaria, where are you at in the house? Honey, your father up in heaven, I'm telling you, and you and your mama sang that song this morning, the glory, he was so happy with that, he allowed his glory to fall. Who felt it? I'm telling you what, you guys ushered in, let me tell you, open the doors of the heavens. But God loves us so much. Psalms 84:11 says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. There's nothing to be feared in God's will. God's will always prove in the final outcome to be the best, the sweetest thing in all the universe. It's better than anything we could imagine or think or try to come up with for ourselves. But we're such little control freaks that we just won't let go and let God have it, man. We've got to, because he's got an ocean, a river of life that he wants to flow into you, a purpose into you. So let me move on before I get to preaching here. The fourth step was obedience. The fifth step is intense desire. In Luke 11:13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The asking in this verse is the asking that springs from a real intense desire with persistence. It's not just a whim where you just, hey, yeah, that'd be cool. I live with it or out without it. That'd be cool. It's not a whim. It's this earnest desire. It's so deep within you. It's like, I gotta have it or I'm gonna die kind of thing, you know? Except it translates into, I've got to have him or my life is not complete. I've got to have more of him. There is more. There's something in my spirit that is expected. Did you get up this morning with something expectant? Something, thank you for that hand. There's something greater than what you know right now. God has something greater than what your life has been like right now. He wants to envelop you with his presence to such a degree that he can actually get into those crevices of your heart, those little spots you were afraid to look into, that there's pain, there's maybe a purpose, but there's failure, and you're just scared to death to go there. But today the Lord wants to empower you. He wants to get in there and take control. He wants to give his Holy Spirit on such a level to you that you can walk confidently. You get up in the morning and you face that job you've dreaded week after week, and the Holy Spirit does a work in you and he infuses his presence in you. He infuses his power in you. And you know what happens when this happens? Don't be afraid. The joy of the Lord begins to be like liquid love. I'll never forget the time I was baptized with the Holy Spirit the first time. I was 15 and a half years old. I walked into the church and they said, lift your hands if you want to thank the Lord. I'm like, I've never lifted my hands. I didn't know I owned pride, but then it was revealed to me. This is the part where I'm talking. The Lord will bring to light. And so I'm going, I have to raise my hands. And the preacher said, if you raise your hands, it means you surrender. And I'm going, oh, I surrender. I gave my heart to the Lord. And so Pastor Paul, my hands went to about right here. And then as I just barely obeyed, the joy of the Lord began to well up in my belly. It was like a river. A river was sloshing in there. And I'd never experienced anything like it. And it began to come up. My hands began to come up. And before you knew it, the tears were just flowing. And the praises were coming out of my mouth. And then the next thing, the preacher says, you know what? You can have more of God. Do you ever feel weak? Do you feel like you don't have that overcoming power? Do you ever feel like you need more of God? And I was thinking, yes, at 15 and a half, going to high school. Yes, I need more of God. And so I thought, well, I'll go up there. And I went and found the most kind of quiet. They were all loud. They were shouting, talking languages I didn't know. And I tried to go get in the most quiet spot and kind of think. And here comes the preacher. Now the preacher talking like this. And he comes up to me and says, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? He didn't say Spirit. He said, Holy Ghost. And I said, well, I'm saved. He said, well, you have the Spirit of the Lord. He said, but he wants to fill you up. And I said, well, I want everything I can get. And he says, well, raise your hands. And once again, it was like, ooh. But I raised my hands, and heaven began to fall. Something I never experienced in my life. life before. It was like liquid gold had just gone down in my spirit. And when it hit, it was bubbling up. And it was like love. I never felt so much love in my life. Who's here and knows what I'm talking about? Oh my gosh. The next day, the people that bugged you, did you have an empowerment about those people? It's just amazing, isn't it? It's just amazing. An intense desire for this, folks. We need more of God. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Evidently, the asking that Christ has in mind is not the asking of just a passing whim, as I've already stated. In Isaiah 44:3, it says, for I will pour out water on him who is thirsty and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's not just for you to feel good, although that happens. What does it mean to be thirsty, so thirsty? Well, I'll tell you what it meant in my family, because this talks about, in Isaiah it says, I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and bless your descendants. And then in the New Testament it says the spirit is for the common good. My mom didn't know when she spent hours in that closet at home and had calluses on her knees from hours of prayer on that cold hardwood floor. She didn't know that she was laying a foundation for my heritage. She didn't know that her baby girl would even be a preacher. She didn't know these things, but she was obedient and she was starving and thirsty and hungry for the things of God. And you know what? God has his fullness for us, but not just us, for your children's children, for our nation, for our schools, for, do you know what? There's so much conflict right now, but we're not of this world. We are only traveling through. Our job is to live for the Lord, to pray and walk in his ways, not to get tangled up with the world's fights. It's our job to seek the Lord and obey him. He'll tell you what you're supposed to do. You don't need to get tangled up in that stuff. Are you with me? Because it'll divide the church. And what's important? What is important? In one mind and one accord. And if we will stay in one mind and one accord this morning, I'm about to open up the altars. Do you want more of God? Well, let's finish these steps. The sixth step is to ask. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In other words, you know what you're asking for, and you're getting something you're definitely expecting, right? You're not just throwing it out there in the dark, and you don't know what God's going to splash out on you. It has been well said on this point, the Holy Spirit was given to the church at Pentecost as an abiding gift. This is true, but what was given to the church, each believer, now I want you to listen to this point, each believer must appropriate for himself or herself. It has been well said on the point that God has already given Christ to the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only son, that whoever, you can say it with me, believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So it was Christ was given to the world, but each individual must appropriate him on a personal act to take personal advantage of the gift of Christ. And so the same about the Holy Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. The Lord sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, but it's up to us to personally invite him to do a greater work. The seventh step is very simple, but it becomes one of the hardest steps. Oftentimes, it's a step of faith. In Mark 11 and verse 24, it says, "For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them, and they will be given you." Now, how does faith come into being and grow? Well, Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Hebrews 4:6 says, "And they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief." So how many of you have ever felt, "I believe, but I can't quite wrap my mind around, I can't envision what this is, and I feel like I don't believe"? So you're betwixt two things. Well, there was a father in the Bible in Mark 9. He said to Jesus, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, Jesus said this, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring the child to me." When they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown himself both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out, and this is where we are many, many times. The father cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Just please help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter no more." That was a glorious day for that father. That father stayed with his son from the time he was a child. And when the rubber met the road and Jesus confronted him, if he could believe. How many of us say, "I believe," but yet we harbor unbelief? I'll be the first to raise my hand. Thank you for your honesty. And I can't tell you how many times I've had to ask God, "Please help me. Please help me." I was told my oldest daughter would probably not live past 5. I know how that father felt. Earnestly asking, "God, heal my baby." And at the same time trying to be totally surrendered to the will of God. At that same time, surrendering my anger. Why would God do this to me? As the worship team comes back, I'd like also the ministry team and the elders to make your way, because we're going to all open these altars here in a moment and give you an opportunity. And as they're coming, I want you to take a look here. Thank you, Sean, for all your hard work, and you gentlemen that brought our display. This right here is a vase that represents you and I that have asked Christ into our heart, and we become citizens of the kingdom of God. And we're believers, Christ followers. This represents that at one point in your life, you were probably baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you experienced this. God just poured you full of liquid love and blessed you. But that experience has become a memory. And you walk in the joy of that memory. But this over here This over here is a fountain. The river, this represents the river of God in a continuous flow of that baptismal power in your life. And to have this experience in your life is renewing your mind in the Lord every day. You go to work and there's a challenge, and before you know it, you just get swept into that challenge. And then the Holy Spirit will remind you, who's your God? Who is your God? You begin to flow. Allow the Holy Spirit to flow. Every day, be being filled with the Spirit of God, putting on the Spirit of the Lord. I want to remind you about the story we read at the beginning. And Pastor Paul, you guys can go ahead. I want to remind you, in the beginning, we talked about Martha Cawthron and those old desks. Many of us may have an old desk that we need to pull out and dust off and become students of the Most High again and let God begin to do a work in us where we can pave the way for others in this wonderful salvation. Can you imagine if we had a country that we didn't have the anchor of the church? We didn't have the anchor of the morals of the church. Can you imagine a society that would go rampant, anything would go, and how unsafe it would be? But I want you to pull out those old desks, and I want you to pave a way for your children. I want you to pave a way for your nieces and your nephews, your grandchildren, those children down your neighborhood, the children that are right now waiting for us to close in the next 10 minutes. I want you to think that you too can have the endowment, the transfusion of God's Spirit in your life every day. Every day. I want you to stand with me.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.